Luke chapter 15. We have concluded our dealings with the prodigal son. Tonight we want to consider his brother, the elder brother, as we find him here in Luke 15, verse 25 to 32. Let's read God's word together. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. That verse 31 is really a key in this paragraph. The father came out to entreat the son. He said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. For a number of weeks now, we have been considering the case of the prodigal son. There are many sermons preached about the prodigal son, but often the elder brother is neglected. We have looked at the prodigal and his request, requesting the portion of his goods. His request was granted, and we watched as he ran down the road, as he ran to sin and spoiled his substance and wasted his substance and himself with riotous living. He found that the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin always has its consequences. There are rewards for sin, not profitable rewards, but there are severe consequences, and sin always leaves its mark and its scar in the life. And then we watched as he came to himself. We heard his confession, his penitence, and he returned to his father's house. And last week we noted the joy and the welcome that he received as he came again to his father's house. What a happy occasion it was. They made merry. They were glad. They rejoiced. And there was that great celebration. And what joy there is over sinners that come to repentance. Even the very angels in heaven rejoice over sinners coming to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. It would not do, however, if we were to leave this parable without a consideration of the elder brother and his response as we find it here in these verses. We come to see that he was not at all pleased. Indeed, he was angry at the arrival of his brother home. His brother had returned safe and sound. He was welcomed by the father. The elder brother was not there when he came, but he heard the music and he inquired as to what was going on. And when he found out the situation, he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and entreated him graciously to come in. But he was not at all pleased. And you can see here how Christ really paints the portrait of human nature. Here he paints another trait of our human nature, of human character. When Oliver Cromwell was having his portrait painted, he said to the painter, My man, paint me warts and all. Warts and all. And here the Lord Jesus Christ shows us human nature. He is accurate and he is true. He paints us warts and all. And how apt the Lord Jesus Christ is and how able he is to expose the hidden sins of the heart. T.T. Shields, the great Canadian preacher from the 1920s, pointed out three great principles that are set forth here in this case of the elder brother. He said this is a picture of those in the Christian church, and it's illustrative of the fact that it is possible, he said, first of all, to have sonship without brotherhood. There may be sonship without brotherhood. Here was a good son, but he was an indifferent brother. And then he went on to point out that there may be service without fellowship. He said, for these many years I have served thee, and neither transgressed I at all. But yet he was out of fellowship with the Father. He missed the whole desire of the Father's heart and the rejoicing of the Father's heart. There was service without fellowship. He was out in the field while the blessing was going on. He missed out on the blessing in the Father's house. He served his Father, but he was out of fellowship with him. He missed the whole desire the Father had for the lost son. And then he said in the third place, not only is there sonship without brotherhood, not only is there a possibility of having service without fellowship, there is a possibility of heirship without happiness. He was angry and he was grieved, and all that the Father had was his. He entreated him to come in and enter into the joy of his house, and yet he still was the most miserable man there. There was heirship without happiness. The return of the prodigal and the father's welcome shows us the God the Father's heart. It shows us that heart of compassion and that love God has for sinners. But here in verse 31, you see again a further word revealing the grace and the love of the Father to the elder brother. Mercy and grace of the Father is evident here and shines forth in his dealings even with the elder brother. Just as he was gracious and merciful to the prodigal, so he is gracious and merciful to this elder brother. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Here was, you could say, as Matthew Henry put it, here was a peevish saint. One who was not happy, one who was angry, one who had a complaining spirit. He was not happy with his father, not happy with his brother, and he was not entering into the joy of this occasion. And this word here really sets before us, it sets before us two things. It sets before us the high privilege of every child of God. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And yet on the other hand, it also shows us the low experience of many believers. They do not enter into the fullness of joy that God has for them. They do not possess their possessions in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all that I have is thine. And yet the brother did not enter in. There is here a demonstration of the rich privileges of God's heritage. And at the same time, the low experience of many believers demonstrated in the elder brother. We know as believers, God has given us His Word, His promise, that all that we have comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given to us every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, all that I have is thine in Him. In Christ, we have all things. And God, in giving Christ His Son, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All the riches of the Father's house are ours in Christ, our brother. We are, as Paul puts it in Romans, we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has said to us, whatsoever you ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, that will I do. This is the promise of God to us. This is the privilege of saints. This is the word of promise that we can enter into the joy of the Lord. We can have this word fulfilled. All that I have is thine. And still we do not make full use of our privileges as sons. We lament our low experience, perhaps, but is it not true? We have not because we ask not. Has the Father not said to us that in Psalm 84, you read those words, no good thing will the Lord withhold to them that walk uprightly. He is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. And yet we have not because we ask not. The reason we do not experience the blessing of God may be, as we noted this morning, it may be our unbelief, our doubting the Word, our doubting the promises. Unbelief may rob us of the blessing of God. But here you see something else in this paragraph. Something else may rob us of the blessing of God. And that is a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of envy, a spirit of jealousy or hatred or complaint that enters into the heart. He was angry. He said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet you never give me a kid. And that the father said, all that I have is thine. And how is it that those corruptions within the heart can fester, and they can catch fire, and they can consume a person, and rob them of the blessing of God? A spirit of bitterness, envy or anger or jealousy, murmuring and complaint can quickly enter in. You see here, there was a servile spirit, but there was really no love for the Father here. No delight in His work. And that can be the case with us. Sometimes there is that servile, slavish attitude. We do it out of duty, out of bondage, but not out of delight for our Lord. A servile spirit of slavish legal duty that leads to bondage is ours, but not the spirit of a child who knows that Father's love and kindness and tenderness. That was the spirit of this elder brother here. These many years I served thee. I never transgressed. He was good. He was a model son, perhaps. Yet, there was not that true love for His work and for what He was doing. And is it not so that we become blind to see the grace of the Father and His readiness to bless and His power available to fill us according to His promise? And very often we do not serve the Lord with that gladness that we ought to have in His service, that delight of heart in serving Him. But it becomes a drudgery and a servile, slavish, legal duty. Here there was, as we said, sonship without fellowship. Here was an elder brother, a son. He enjoyed all the rights, all the privileges of sonship. This young man was his father's son. He had a right to a place in the family. He was industrious and he went to work in the fields. He never dishonored his father's house. In many accounts of him, he is a worthy representative of the father's house. He was a privileged son. He had all the privileges of the father's house. But he was a poor brother. He was a privileged son, but he was a poor brother. He always did what was right and good, perhaps. But you see here, there's no mention of his brother. He doesn't even refer to his brother as his brother. He refers to him as the father's son. He shows no distress at his brother's absence. There was no concern. We don't read of any concern for the empty seat at his father's table. He never offered himself to go and seek after the younger brother. He never went out of his way to fulfill the wishes of the father. He never talked to his father about his absent brother. Perhaps you can imagine him there. Here he was, a servant of the Father's house. He went to work in the fields. You can imagine him coming in to the Father's table, sitting down and talking about all kinds of things, but never mentioning his absent brother. Never talking to his father about his absent brother. Talking about the crops and the need, perhaps, to build greater barns. And the father, you can just picture the father saying, "Yes, okay, son, you go ahead and do that." And then that silence from his father, because his father's heart was concerned about the younger brother. You see also that this elder brother was not there when his younger brother returned. He missed the blessing. He was in the field. He had no part of the blessing. He wouldn't enter into the blessing. He complained that the father had not been so kind to him as he ought to. Indeed, you could say he was just as much out of fellowship and out of touch with the father. He missed the whole point. He missed the desire of the father's heart. And when he came to the house, he didn't go in. He entreated a servant. He entreated a servant. And he referred to the father's son as if he was not his own brother. And yet the father reminds him of his relationship. He says, "This is thy brother. Thy brother is come." And how many are like this elder brother in churches today? They have this spirit, this attitude. They are saved. They're in the Father's house. They have all the privileges of the Father's house. All that I have is thine. But they have no passion for lost souls. No passion for those who are in the far country. No concern about the empty seats in the Father's house. They never do anything to bring others into the Father's house. It was said of the great evangelist D.L. Moody when he was a young man. When he first went to Chicago to work as a young man, he took a job and he started to attend a church there. And it was in the days when you went in, you would rent your seat in the church. You would rent a pew. And he would rent his seat, pay the token, pay the money, and have your seat, attend the service. That was the custom. And so what did Moody do when he first got his job? He rented a whole pew. And he went out and he brought people in to fill that pew. And when he got a little more money, he went out and he got more people to come in. He rented a second pew. And Moody's pastor said he was always sure that there would be at least two pews filled in of the church. He had a concern for those in the far country, had a concern for lost brothers. Yet there are many who have no concern for the salvation of souls, no concern about the empty pews in the Lord's house, no concern to bring souls in, never attend a prayer meeting. Just like this elder brother, he never talked to his father about his brother. And how many never attend the prayer meeting and talk to the Heavenly Father about the great needs of the hour, the great needs of the church, the great needs of souls? Well, there was sonship without fellowship. Sonship without the fellowship. How we must engage our hearts in the work of God. Not only was there sonship without fellowship, and we must labor out of a heart of love and delight for the Father's house and a concern for others. But you notice also here there was sonship without happiness. He was an heir, but he was not happy. He was miserable. He had all he needed, all that the Father's house provided. There was always enough at the Father's table and to spare. Enough for him, enough for the servants. But here he would begrudge his brother. He was an heir, but he was not happy. Indeed, he was angry. And when he came by, he heard that festal music and that rejoicing and that celebration. He inquired what they meant. He was informed that his brother was come safe and sound. Safe and sound. Healthy in body. Healthy in mind, healthy in soul. He was returned safe and sound, and the Father had made a feast for his welcome, and there was great joy, great joy. But he was angry and he would not go in. See, he thought he deserved all the Father's favor. He thought he had the monopoly on the Father's favor and was displeased when the brother returned. He saw that his Father had taken him in. The Father had taken the prodigal in. And yet he would not go in. How many are like that? They do not enter into the joy of the Lord. Matthew Henry said, "Take note. We think too highly of ourselves. If we cannot find in our hearts to receive those whom God has received and to admit those into our favor and friendship and fellowship with us, whom we have reason to think that God has a favor for and are taken into fellowship with Him, we think too highly of ourselves. If we cannot find it in our hearts to receive those whom God has received." And here was the son. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't enter into the joy of the Father's house. And yet the Father was gracious unto him. The Father entreated him. He went out and he met him and he entreated him to come in. And he gave him this assurance in verse 31, "All that I have is thine. Thou art ever with me." Was this assurance given to him that all the good that the Father had shown to the prodigal would not in any way diminish the blessing that he would show to the elder brother? It says there was enough. Enough. The reception of the prodigal. What was the Father saying here? He's saying the reception of the prodigal is no rejection of you. The reception of the prodigal does not diminish the blessings that I will shower upon you. All that I have is thine. Would not take away from that. There is enough and to spare. But he couldn't enter into the joy of his Father over his brother. He didn't go in even when his Father came and entreated him. He was miserable. He was miserable and complaining. Father entreated him to come into the feast, to come sit at the table in communion. And he was angry and would not go in. The Father has told us that we are to have fellowship with him. That fellowship is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only in Christ and in fellowship with the Father, we can know that joy. We must come day by day to sit at the Father's table. A table that He furnishes for us, for our nourishment and for our strength, for our comfort, for our joy. He has promised to sustain us. All that I have is thine. He's promised to be with us and to help us every step of the way. And yet, there are those who neglect the privileges of sonship and are not happy. They do not enter into the joy of the Lord. They do not serve the Lord with gladness and are angry, much like Jonah, who was grieved in his day. Even at the repentance of that great city of Nineveh, the Lord came to him and he said, "Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Should not I spare that great city, Nineveh?" But he was angry. Didn't enter into the joy of that occasion, much like this elder brother. But the Father comes here. The Father comes out in grace to entreat him. He comes to discover the cause of the trouble. What is the issue? What is the reason for this lack of joy? Is it because, again, you're out of fellowship with the Father? Out of fellowship with the Father, is not living in the light of the Father's countenance, is out in the field, and the blessing came. He missed the blessing. He couldn't enter in. He was out of fellowship. God does not withhold His fellowship from us. But very often we neglect that fellowship with Him. And that is the cause of our trouble. That is the cause of our grief. That is the cause of our bitterness at times. Yet by sin, by unbelief, we neglect it. And when we neglect fellowship with God in Christ, we lose the joy of our salvation. We do not enter into the joy of the Lord. We will not be serving the Lord with gladness. There will be that servile, legalistic bondage and duty, but not that filial love, that kindness, duty and delight in the Father. To each of His children, the Lord says here, all that I have is thine. That's the promise of God. Every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ Jesus. But often the reason that we have not is because we ask not. If one is not happy, the problem is not with God, but the problem lies in his own heart. The problem lies in the fact that he's out of fellowship with the Father. The Lord said concerning the children of Israel that he brought them out of Egypt. He redeemed them. He brought them out in order to bring them in. He brought them out to bring them into the blessing of the land of promise, the land that floweth with milk and honey. Likewise, God has brought us out. He has saved us from our sins in Christ. He has washed us in that precious blood in order to bring us into the blessing. And so He tells us that we are to grow in grace and to commune with Him and to enjoy that fellowship with Him in order to the spiritual benefit of our own souls. And over in 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we are encouraged there to fellowship with the Lord and give that diligence to fellowship with Him. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise. We can enter into these blessings. We can know these graces in our life. By fellowship with the Lord, we can know that fruitfulness, that benefit to our own souls. But those who neglect it will be barren and unfruitful. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Have you forgotten what the Lord has done for you in Christ? Have you forgotten that Christ has forgiven you? He has brought you into his family, into his fold. He has made you a son. You have all the privileges. Have you forgotten what it means to be cleansed from your sins, purged from your old sins? Oh, we must consider again the greatness of the salvation that God has provided for us in Christ, and consider Him and meditate upon Him, that we would be fruitful, not barren, not weak, not lacking joy that comes with fellowshipping with Christ. Have you forgotten that He has purged you from your old sins? You would think this occasion of the prodigal's return would be a reason to celebrate. Truly joy spilled over in the house. But here was one who was bitter and angry and consumed and didn't enter into the joy because of that. He was filled with self-righteousness. He was filled with his own boasting. He spoke harshly about his brother and his ways. There was a spirit of envy and complaining and an evident lack of charity towards his brother. These are the corruptions that can easily grow within the heart of a man. Oh, he had not run from his father's house. He never went astray. He was a servant in it all these many years. And yet, within his heart, there were these hidden corruptions. He said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet now he's standing against his father. He's complaining against his father. He was making himself to look better and the prodigal to look worse. He highlights the prodigal's sin. How pride can fill a man, how pride can overcome a man. Corruptions, you see here, corruptions within the heart can burn and spread like wildfire. We need to guard our hearts to maintain that fellowship, partake at the table of the Lord and be blessed and to know the benefit and the joy of His salvation. The joy of fellowshipping with the Father in Christ in His house, delighting in His work and serving the Lord with gladness. It is the unspeakable happiness of all the children of God who keep close to the Father's house that they are and shall ever be His and with Him for all eternity. That is a thought. If you profess to know the Lord today, that should be a thought and a meditation that fills your heart with joy. All that I have is Thine. Son, Thou art ever with me. What a blessing it is for the child of God to think upon those words. Unspeakable happiness, internal joy is wrapped up in those words. And as we keep to the Father's house, we shall know the blessing of them now. If children, then heirs, and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are not to have that spirit of bitterness and anger and envy with regard to others, even others who come to know the grace of God. We shall not lose anything because others have come in and been brought in and entered into the joy of the Lord. If we are to be true believers, all that God is and all that He has is ours in Christ. Nothing can take that blessing away from us. It's the irreversible blessing that God has pronounced upon His people. And it's meet to make merry when others enter into the joy of the Lord. That is something that should fill your heart with joy as well. To see others entering into the joy of the Lord. To see those who were once dead arise to new life in Christ. To see those who are lost found in Christ. Oh, may it be our desire to bring others in, to labor for the Master, do His will. Christ said, my will is to do the work of the Father in heaven. It was His delight. It was His constant endeavor. And may we follow in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ and seek to bring souls to the Father by the way of the cross.